Hey now, welcome to the Dirty Side of the Track, America's leading Formula One podcast. Today, this morning, last night, was the Chinese Grand Prix. It was an eventful weekend. I look forward to recapping it with you. As always, I'm Brian, that's Rob. Rob, how are you, man?
I'm good. I'm living on fumes. 3 a.m. get up, watch the race, went back to sleep for 2 hours, got up, played my first football game of the season.
Wait, you watched it live?
Yeah. I'm not a big girl like you, Brian. I can actually like get up at night and like watch a race and then go back to sleep again,
no,
and get up and do sport.
Not an option. None of those are options. That's silly. That's just silly. Oh
well,
man,
at least one of us is committed. You have watched it, right? You got up and watched it on F1 TV, didn't you, this morning?
I did, or on ESPN, recorded on the DVR. But however it works,
whatever.
It works. I saw it. Saw the whole weekend. None of it live.
I saw sprint. I saw both races live. So yeah, I'd be interested to pull it apart with you when we get there, because I am a little on the fence as to whether I really enjoyed that much of this weekend. But we'll get there.
We'll get there.
News and social. Did you put anything in the video vault this week? I haven't even checked.
I did.
Ooh, okay, so we've got a video vault. Then we've got sort of bonanza of a race weekend because it was a sprint. 15 million clips from Pit Lane Paul to get through, and no race preview because we've all got an off week next week. So let's jump in. And a rumor that started swirling at the beginning of the week, which I actually thought was going to get maybe announced by the end of the week, or by the time we were recording, I thought we'd already kind of have it. Carlos Sainz, rumors of a 1+1 deal with Mercedes, but nothing kind of concrete yet. But it seemed to gather a lot of traction. Lots of places were reporting it. Oh, yeah, it's a 1+1 deal anytime now. It's like, okay. And then died as the week went on. It lost all momentum. It's like when you let a balloon go, it like shoots off for the first few feet and then just kind of fizzles and slumps to the ground. So that's kind of what do you make of that, Brian?
I mean, it seems an
obvious
same
choice for him, a 1+1 to go to somewhere like Mercedes.
It did. And I saw the same things on Twitter and other places. And you're like, all right, this sounds exciting. You know, this makes sense. But then, like, it begat other rumors. And you didn't know which ones to believe, because then you started hearing about him and, like, you know, conversation comes back about Audi. It always comes back. But then this weekend, you heard all these Audi rumors about Hulk going to Audi and for next year. And I'm like, I don't know what we're talking about at this point. Like, is Carlos going to Mercedes or to Red Bull or to Audi?
Well, apparently not Red Bull, because Helmut did I'm sure senior figures at Red Bull, when they hear that a big interview has dropped, and it was big. It was in German or whatever language he speaks, but it needed to be translated and people were pulling parts out of it. But whenever he does one of these big interviews, the senior figures at Red Bull must just sort of face palm and just go, oh, nothing bad this time. Anyway, no, actually, it wasn't too controversial. He said that because they asked about the rumors of Sainz going to Red Bull, and he said that the Audi deal was a lucrative one that they can't match. So he kind of almost distanced Red Bull from sniffing around Sainz. Then they asked him about Liam Lawson and a potential mid-year seat opportunity,
which you've been predicting for a while.
I know. And it says, of course, with Liam Lawson as a reserve driver, we have a strong driver in the team who is contractually entitled to drive for another team if he does not get a cockpit with us in 2025. In this regard, of course, it would be exciting for us if we can see him in Formula One this year to get a clearer picture. But this is a complex topic and you'll have to see what happens next. I didn't know that. I didn't know that Red Bull risk seeing him walk away if he
either
doesn't get a seat in 2025. So, and then Helmut going, yeah, we might have a little look at him first just to make sure we're going all in on him. So, I mean, talk about stoking up the pressure on the two current RB drivers who, when we get there, didn't have the greatest of results this weekend. Not through there, any fault
I was going to say,
can
get a bad weekend going before whatever happened in the race, and we'll talk about it. But Daniel's doing all right until he got literally rear-ended. You know what? I have a question for you. So as we look at these silly season rumors and all this conversation, you and I have been on the record for over almost a year now predicting a very wild, silly season this year. We didn't anticipate necessarily or predict Lewis going to Ferrari, but we're watching all the other dominoes fall from that and other things like Fernando's contract a couple weeks ago. There are still an ungodly amount of drivers who are out of contract at the end of this year, and there'll be at the very least a wild game of musical chairs, if not, you know, new drivers coming into the fold. Do you think this is how it's going to be, where basically every 2 weeks we just have a ton of rumors, and every 2 weeks one more driver signs somewhere, like Fernando signs last week. We'll
one
have
at
a
a
ton
time,
of
one
rumors
by
for
one.
3 weeks, and then one more driver, and then 3 more weeks of rumors, then one more driver. Because I don't
One
know
of
if
those
I can
busy
handle that.
nightclubs, right? One of those busy nightclubs. It's gone to a one out, one in policy. You've got to wait.
Basically, I was hoping for wildfire in the middle of the year, like summer break's gonna be crazy, but I don't know. I'm a little nervous about how this, because I just find it'll be unbearable if we go like this for the whole year.
Can't, because I think as soon as some of the other dominoes start falling, people are going to panic, and you'll want drivers getting their drives locked in. I don't think it can just kind of bumble along with one a week or one every 3 weeks or something. I think there'll be hit a tipping point where everybody has to come out of the long grass and go, okay, I'm locking this driver into this contract, because otherwise they're going to risk missing out. So yes, you dredged up one
I
here
did.
about
I kind of I know what
watches.
Rob's doing, guys. If everyone's curious where Rob will be, if you want to go get a chance to chat with Rob, the week of May 3rd to May 5th, he'll be in New York, and then in May 13th, he'll be in Switzerland for the auctioning of 8 of Michael Schumacher's watches. Could raise, they anticipate, about $4.8 million in total. I'm sure Rob will be there finding the nicest watch he can and making an offer for it. So if you want to go hang out with Rob, go to the auction, check it out.
I'm not a watch guy, really. I don't really
I'm not
see the
either.
point. Yeah.
And when I
You
use
know,
the best
it
part is
tells
when
the
you
time.
say that
It
to a
tells the
watch
time.
person, yeah, they get very mad at you.
I know. It's like it tells the time. Why is one better than the other? As long as it's accurate, I don't really care.
I'm an
I have one
Apple
of those
Watch
little.
guy. That's how much I don't care. And then the last story that I found that I wanted to add to the news this week is initial reports are saying that Mercedes show $1 billion in 2023 revenue. The Mercedes F1 team, $1 billion in 2023 revenue. Now, those are initial, and it was from speedcafe.com, which everyone knows is a wildly credible source. So I guess we'll wait to see a little more, but it is a fascinating kind of give get with this idea of a cost cap era and the revenue that teams are making, because Rob is going to bring this up when we get to the sprint in terms of the cost cap era playing a role. And I hadn't thought of it that way. And I like the cut of your jib on that conversation.
Oh,
But
well,
with that,
let's crank open the video vault then.
shall we? We shall. So like last week, I was on the road a little busy, and I will be again, but I got home in time to do some searching and found a handful of videos that I really enjoyed. And one of them I do have a question for, but one of these is a must watch. So first, Lewis Hamilton plays retro video games from his childhood on the Mercedes F1 channel. It's 3 minutes long. It was actually dropped last Saturday. It should have been in last week's episode, but I
Whoa.
enjoyed it so much I had to put it in. Yeah, that's not the must watch. It was just fun. If anyone played PlayStation when they were younger, you got to go check this out, because Lewis kind of runs through some of his favorite games. The second is Joe and Valtteri go sightseeing in Shanghai. This is on the F1 channel proper, not on the Sauber channel. It's 6 minutes. It just dropped yesterday. I loved it. Like, I really enjoy sort of the camaraderie that Valtteri and Joe have together.
Yeah.
They're both kind of seem like laid back guys who seem to support each other. Joe, obviously a younger driver. Valtteri, obviously a wildly accomplished driver. But they really support each other. I could have watched this 3 times. That was the one I would recommend people watch. And then I have 2 videos where I have questions. Which sport has the best celebrations? This is on the Sky Sports F1 channel. Norris, Colwell, and Sanchez compare F1 and football. I don't know Chelsea's team, but Levi Colwell and Robert Sanchez were in this with Lando, and they discussed a lot of differences between F1 and football, as they called it incorrectly. It's soccer, obviously. And so, they kind
They
of
were right, Brian. They were right.
they debated that. Are you familiar with these two gentlemen from the fine world of football?
Let's just put it this way. Chelsea didn't put any of their stars forward for this video.
Okay, good. All right. So that was my first question. It's a fine watch if you're interested in it. It was neat though to watch a couple soccer players debate that they're in better shape than an F1 driver. And Lando looked at him and go, "Your head would fall off after 2 laps." So he's like, "I could go out there and
So
run
they
around a
bought a couple.
little."
The football players were there.
Yeah.
What's this other thing you were talking about? Soccer?
Yeah. And then the last video on the Aston Martin channel. This is no hashtag, no ordinary game. 3 minutes, Jessica Hawkins and a snooker player had a race where he had to clear the whole table and she had to do a whole lap of whatever track they were at, and it was fun. I really enjoyed this 3 minutes. It's not quite a must watch like the Joe Valtteri, but you should go check it out. But I do have a question, and this is going to make me sound really bad. What is snooker? It's like pool, but different. Like, we've talked about it on this podcast, and I've pretended to know. I don't know.
See, we'll never get Matt Bishop back on this show
I
again. He's a
know
huge
that.
snooker fan,
I
and
know that too.
you know
Don't
he's
tell
going to
Matt
be listening
Bishop.
along. And he's like, "I'm not going back on that." If they're asking what snooker, it's a fine game, Brian, which is always enhanced by a couple of beers.
But it's on a pool table?
No, it's on a snooker table, which is much bigger than a pool table, much bigger, and there are
You don't know
points
either, do you?
associated to. There are, I will give you the order. You have to put the balls down in, sir. There are points for each color of the ball. You have to put a red down, and then you can take a color. Once all the reds are off the table, then you clear the colors, potting the black to finish.
All righty then.
So, what were they doing when they were clearing this? I haven't watched this one. Were they actually? Why am I asking you? You don't even know what snooker is. I'll
Well,
go
he had
watch
to
the video,
clear
and
the
I'll work out
table,
what they were
and
doing.
she said, how fast can you do it? And then she's in the car, and they gave them both the go, and
Yeah,
they
but
asked.
clearing the table, I doubt it's like from the beginning with the full rack up, because there's no way that someone can clear a table in less time than
I'm
someone
not
can go
even
around a
sure he was
lap.
a professional because he just put his arm out and started shoving them in pockets with his hands.
But
But with that, we will
on
close
that
the
note,
video
yeah.
vault. Jessica Hawkins also did one of the interviews this weekend. She's great. She's a great driver and a good personality to do those conversations, which we can talk about Nico Rosberg because I don't know if he fills both those boxes.
Or either. Right, so on
A
to
world
race
champion, he's
weekend.
obviously a great driver.
Practice, the only note I got was that the grass was on fire. They were going over the bumps, and the skid blocks were causing sparks, which the wind was carrying over onto the grass, and then the grass caught fire. Red flag. That's it. There you
I
go. That's
loved it.
practice.
That was practice. I love the fact that it came back in sprint quali. I
Well, yes.
loved that. Like, I
It
missed
was
practice.
wet. It was
Yeah.
raining, right?
Not
There was
yet.
water on the track. Wasn't there at this point?
Not
Oh, no, it
yet,
comes
no.
later. Okay,
Yeah,
okay. I thought so.
SQ1, no right
I thought
rain yet.
practice was wet. I mean, I didn't watch practice. I didn't go
I
back to
didn't
watch
see
it. I thought
it.
practice. So I just don't understand how wet grass sets on fire, but there we go. Oh, by the way, we can call it sprint quali now. We can call it SQ1 because they've done a 180 and they've basically said, okay, we're not calling it sprint shootout anymore because they must have polled it and it didn't poll well. And they've gone back to calling it sprint quali. So that's what it is. SQ1, we had another fire
I love
and we
this.
lost Albon Sergeant Yuki, the gas man, maybe setting fire to his own chances, and and Esteban. So,
So the beginning
yeah.
of a bad weekend for Yuki, right? Obviously going out, blaming the car, blaming a lot of challenges. I love Charles going by the fires, like we have a fire again. Like I can't believe the cars. Have you ever seen this where the sparks off the skid
Yeah.
plates
But it's a
light the
great way to
course on
solve track
fire?
limits. Great way to solve track limits. You just, people are debating whether it's, the white line. Is it gravel? No, set fire. Set fire to the
You
outside of the
cannot
track.
drive
No
in the
one's going
fire.
to. Might do
Oh,
something to
man.
the tires, yeah. And then at the beginning, that's right. This is when the rain came because this was hilarious. The beginning of SQ2, where they were all
Right.
bunched up trying to leave the pits to get out before the rain was coming. And Zhou and Danny Ric. I mean, everybody across the world must know this. When you have got two cars on a highway or a motorway in the UK, and you're coming up to a merge where two lanes go into one, there's this kind of unwritten rule that you look straight ahead. Because if you look left or right and you see the person and make eye contact, you're going to probably have to let them in. But if
Is
you
that the
just pretend
American
that.
in you talking or the Brit in you
No, the
talking?
oh, but the Brits are just as bad as us. We're very stubborn. We look forward.
All
Don't
right.
make eye contact. Because if I make eye contact, the British gentleman in me has to come out and I have to wave that person in. If I pretend I haven't seen them, then this is my spot to take. And that's what Zhou and Danny Ric did all the way right down to the final piece where one of them had to give. And I think Zhou outdid Danny, and Danny Ric had to slot in behind Zhou. But that was hilarious watching them all try to. I mean, come on, guys. I know the rain's coming, but you're going to be behind someone on the track because you're not Max. You're not out first. But, they got round. We lost Russell, both Haases, Danny Ric and Stroll. Stroll having a magnificent weekend.
Another person with a terrible weekend. But also, it was a sign as well for the Mercedes team that if George goes out in SQ2, which is a shock, that was a surprise. And, again, you had to get your laps in before the rain started because then the rain started and you're not going to improve. There's no way that an intermediate tire gets you around faster than a dry. So the second the rain starts, if you don't get those banker laps in, just forget it. Just like that's what some people did. I think it was Valtteri who was through, just rocked up to the pits, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm done. I'm not going back out because you can't improve upon it." And certain people
Yeah,
called it early,
exactly.
like, "We might as well just sit in here and stay dry till SQ3." And then the rain came down, and I gotta say, we've talked a lot about this on here. We've actually asked Valtteri dry race or wet race. I love a session that has rain occur in the middle of it. I think I figured it out. We've often said I enjoy like a wet quali to kind of jumble up the race order and make the race interesting, but no one really, like, Rob, do you agree wet races are okay, but not necessarily the most exciting because it's so weird? No, you
Can't
disagree?
agree. I think wet race is the best.
Okay, I like
I
okay.
think you, when you watch someone like whether it was a Jenson Button or a Schumacher or even Hamilton, some of these rain masters, and
Yeah, that's true.
watching how far some people are willing to push it to the edge of grip, I just think it's
And you're right, I
amazing.
actually just
Okay,
rewatched.
they're not lapping as quickly. I get it, but there's jeopardy, the spinning cars. I'm all in for a wet race.
You're totally right. I just rewatched the Netherlands from last year when it rained on and off and on and off. You're
Oh,
right.
that
It's a good
monsoon,
call.
didn't it? Yeah.
But this coming in the middle was also exciting. Like
Yes,
you
it is.
didn't
No, I
have it the
agree.
whole time and you had to budget for when it was going to happen. And then when you get to SQ3, you just watched chaos. And the chaos I'd like to highlight isn't the fact that Lando took pole and that Lewis was second, Fernando third, and Max fourth. I'm not going to highlight that. It's that Lando had a lap deleted and then reinstated. And this caused quite a buzz on the internet, on Twitter, and in our Discord, as we kind of discussed it. So, Rob, I'd love your take on this one.
I wasn't quite sure why they reinstated it, and then last week's guest Terry from the Coffee Corner put a video out ridiculously quickly, basically saying everyone needs to calm down. It's got nothing to do with whether or not he got didn't get an advantage, because they were saying, oh yeah, his sector one time was slower than his previous lap because he went onto the gravel, therefore he didn't get an advantage. Therefore, the stewards were allowed to say that they could reinstate the lap. It's like, nope. It was just the stewards pulling the trigger too quickly. In most races, when you exceed track limits on the last corner like that, you will invalidate this lap and the next lap. But the race director's notes had very clearly said, for this particular track, you will only lose this lap. So what they must have done is, because the norm is to invalidate the next one, I guess some trigger-happy steward had gone, oh, yeah, invalidate next lap, gone. And then someone's gone, the race director notes we pushed out said we don't do that. And they're, oh, yeah, crumbs, reinstate it. So absolutely followed to the book. There's a few people saying, oh, this is ridiculous that the Formula One doesn't have consistent rules from track to track. Well, it does. And the consistent rule here is that the race director gets to publish
Right.
how they're going to treat track limits depending on the setup. And it'll be interesting to see what happens in Austria, where you've got that last corner that if you go wide on that, you get a ridiculous amount of extra pace going down the straight. They have to police it there. Here, they're saying there is no advantage to leaving the track there. You're going to gravel.
Yeah.
So there's no point in validating the next lap. And that's what the race director notes said. So, yeah, much ado about nothing, really.
I agree.
Like you
There was
say, a
no way
big
you gain
furore
advantage.
everywhere. And then,
Yeah.
yeah.
No way you gain
Okay.
an advantage. You got to let that lap following stand. But it wasn't the lap he was on. It wasn't the pole lap where he went off. So
No, and I
anyway.
think people got confused because the start line or the where they cross the line is so close to where they come around that corner. It's not that they then drive all the way down the straight. It's right there. So I think people thought that was the lap that was actually the pole lap, and it wasn't. It was the previous lap. So all good. So I think we need to play the first of the trilogy of pit lane pole updates, because that's the I think he said in the Friday ones, which would have encompassed practice and sprint quali.
All right, but we're going to play the music now to introduce Paul, and we won't play it for second and third editions.
Yeah, let's get the music. Just one set of music.
All right, and our first of three editions of Paul.
Hey now, China. Here we are. Race. Oh, I don't even know what race number it is. Four, five, whatever it is. We've not been here for a few years because of some COVID thing. It's quite popular over here. And actually, I forgot this is a pit lane pole triple ender. So yeah, I mean, like, let's give you a few little facts on China. We've not been here for a while, as I said. They can use up to 45 billion chopsticks a year. Now, I don't know if that fact is really fair. I mean, a chopstick, would you class a chopstick as one?
Good
Or
question.
chopsticks, would you class as two? So, like, if they use 45 billion chopsticks a year, is that a pair of chopsticks? And if that's the case, have they actually used 90 billion chopsticks a year? Because there's two of them. So, I mean, that's something to discuss for you guys, I think, in this podcast. Is when does, like, a pair of something become one unit? It's like, you know, a pair of pants, for instance, is one pant. You know, a pair of socks is two items. So I think we all need to get to the bottom of the chopstick issue, which is good. And yeah, for Formula One over here, it's obviously been quite a while. They could have played on the PlayStation and the Xbox, but Western game consoles were actually illegal in China until 2014. So they've never played on Super Mario. They've just never had fun, really, which is in keeping, I guess. But now, Happy Racer, people, that's a silly thing. You walk around here and it's pretty mad how people are so happy. You need to have a permit from the government to have children here, for instance, which is quite mad, but, you know, quite wise for some parents that I know of. But anyway, let's go back to what's happened in Friday practice and qualifying. Practice was practice. Thankfully, there's only one. And then we go to qualifying for the sprint race. It's a new weekend format. Can't say I'm a fan. Lando Norris was pole. He wasn't pole. He was back. He was at the back of the grid. He was driving the safety car at stages during the sprint qualifying. But he got his lap reinstated, starts on pole. Lewis Hamilton, okay, look, the weather conditions, needless to say, play a part. P2, Fernando, great performance. P3, Max, P4. Don't get too excited. He's probably going to drive through and win the race by a margin. But you never know. Ferraris, Sainz out-qualifying Leclerc again. Yeah. And then from our side, really, obviously, with Valtteri in P9, and then a great performance for the hometown hero, Zhou. The support here is pretty wild. So looking forward to seeing what happens over the rest of the weekend. But so far, absolutely awesome. Well, let's see if my enthusiasm wanes till tomorrow evening. See you later.
I love the fact that you can hear cars going around the track in the background of his report from Shanghai.
Talk about giving the extra authenticity. Not that we needed it, but
yeah.
I mean, do we just abandon discussing the Chinese Grand Prix and really get down to the issue of pairs of things like chopsticks and socks?
We should. Can I just ask one question as you think about this? Pants come together and stay together. Socks come usually taped together or you know put together, but they're never together. Chopsticks, on the other hand, at least most of them that I've used, come together until you break them apart. So I think there's an actual, we found the middle ground between socks always apart, pants always together, chopsticks, except for nice ones, here in the States at least, come together, and then you break them apart.
So the cheap ones that come at the restaurants that you probably go to.
Correct, the cheap places that the Sat Man goes to. Yeah.
Okay, let's forget about pairs, and let's get on to the sprint. Okay. We had a whole bunch of confusion. The commentary team either got given the wrong, they blamed a WhatsApp group they were in, I think, at one point, about telling everybody that everyone was on the wrong tires. Yeah. Oh, we got like 700 people on softs. Oh, no, hang on. It's just Valtteri. No, just George. No idea what's going on. It's like, they've got colors on the side, guys. There's a clue right in front of you, but.
We're not asking for the compound. We're just asking, you know, we don't need C1s. You don't have to tell us exactly which.
Yeah.
Just red, yellow, or white. That's all we're going to need. But yeah, I mean, I was excited for this. I'll just be honest. I actually enjoyed this sprint. For me, I know you're shaking your head already. Just hold on. For me, this was actually the highlight of the weekend. And I'll tell you why. One, the start was fascinating without Max in the front. I thought Lewis and Lando going after it, little British on British crime. I thought Lewis really held that first corner beautifully and Lando couldn't and wasn't sure whether to try to or not. Cost himself 6 or 7 spots. I enjoyed that. Well, I'll wait till the rest, but there was a section towards the end where I was literally throwing things at the TV. I was so excited. I'm like, I can't wait to see what happens next. So I thought for 19 laps or 18 laps, I thought this was pretty good. But I enjoyed start, the whole thing.
I thought 2 laps out of 19 were good. I thought the start was pretty good. But once Max once Max took the lead, it was ridiculous how far clear he got, which was going to be a foreshadower for Sunday's main event. And then we just watched a DRS train for the rest of the race until finally Alonso couldn't keep the choo-choo Alonso train going anymore. And it was all over in about like a blink of an eye. It was one lap where almost everybody got Alonso. They all went through and then nothing else happened again. So we had, that one lap was good when everyone got past Alonso, but no one wants to do anything like the commentary. I don't like Nico Rosberg as a commentator.
I don't either.
He was a great driver, but he just doesn't do it for me, right? But
I agree.
He said, you know, Lewis and Lando didn't close the door on Max when he came up the inside. They could have easily defended the inside line much harder than they did, but it's just not worth it. It's not, and I don't mean not worth it because you're not going to hold him up. It's their job to try and hold him up. It's a sprint race. It's not a blue flag that they're letting him by. But there's just no point even risking making contact in the sprint because the points are so minuscule in the sprint that you daren't risk crashing your car and missing out on quali, or worse still, the race altogether because you wanted to do a bit of sprint action. So even with the Alonso one, it got a little bit spicy when they went three abreast and it was like through goes Checo, almost like the through goes Hamilton moment. But then once everybody had made those spots, no one really fights then because everyone will settle in now and go to the end because nothing happened after that.
I think you were just tired. I enjoyed it. At lap 12 of the 19 when the train really had settled in by that point. And yes, you're right. It was frustrating for a handful of laps. A few things I did notice is forget the Max and Checo delta, but Fernando was third, holding off the Ferraris, who had less pace than I anticipated over the entire weekend. I couldn't tell what was going on in the sprint, but it became clear at the race. They just didn't have pace at China. Lance was 14th, and Fernando is in front of just about everybody. And this is the sprint we're talking about. This gets replicated in the race. The delta from Lance to Fernando is bigger than Max to Checo, and we bang away on Checo all day. And so to me, I think I know his dad runs a team, and I know it's called a rolling contract, and I know he's going to be there forever. He is not covering himself in glory at all this year.
Not at all.
Hasn't at all this whole calendar year. So I did enjoy that train because what happened was lap 15, Charles and Checo are battling. Lap 16, they're battling. And then, like you say, the cork comes out of the bottle, and it becomes amazing back and forth. Fernando, Carlos, Checo, Charles, they're battling each other. Yes, Fernando gets taken. He gets a penalty because of it. It punctures his tires. I don't know why he got a penalty, if I'm being honest. We'll get to that in a second. But it was just back and forth, back and forth. And then if that weren't enough, Carlos runs Charles off. Ferrari on Ferrari crime, where now we're not just holding the line and you have to go around the outside. Carlos actually goes to the line himself, and Charles has nowhere to go. And this is a sprint race, to your point. This is not the actual Grand Prix. And I'm watching this thing, and Fred Vasseur is having a heart attack on the pit lane wall, watching this going, these aren't even for, like, these are, yeah, there's points. But to your point, they're not real points. These aren't, you know, fourth or fifth in the GP where we get, you know, twice as many points. Yeah. And I'm watching this going, this is amazing. So I loved it. I thought the closure of it was great. The battle was great. I liked it. And it reminded me immediately how much I like this track. Maybe not because of the overtaking, but because of the bravery people show to do the overtaking. Turn one, everybody takes a different line through it, especially if you're battling someone. You kind of go in a little deeper and come out shallower. And it's not really a switcheroo. It's almost like you're just setting up the next couple turns. And I love that. I love the fact that there's a straight just before the start-finish straight. So there's a little DRS jeopardy back there that nothing is set until you get to that start-finish line. And again, you have to have courage, if we shall say, to kind of, you know, go into that hairpin at the end. So A, it brought up my love of China again. B, I love the different angles people were taking. I thought the first lap, Lewis and Lando, was fun, but then those last three or four laps, and it was only two laps really of the battle.
Two. I enjoyed lap one, lap 16 and 17, slept through the rest of it.
Man, you are a Debbie Downer over here.
It was just, I just don't like sprints. I just, no one really goes for it unless they have to. And that point, that was more an opportunistic thing where the Alonso, like you say, cork out of the bottle and everybody had to make a dash for it at that point. But once they did, that was it. They were just like, let's just take it to the line now. Other, like you say, the Ferrari's getting feisty. So I just don't know. don't know what they do to persevere. They know that the sprint format isn't working, hence why they keep messing with it every year to try to come up with a way that's going to make us all love it. And like you just heard Paul, you know, not a fan of the new format. Now, I kind of did like the Parc Fermé opening back up so that the main race doesn't just become a copy and paste of the sprint race, just longer. So they actually get to learn from the sprint race and kind of tweak it. So that bit I'm in on. I really think they need to almost have like separate budget for the sprint championship, make it a team event only. We talked about this a while back about making a separate sprint championship. And I've kind of almost reined in on that a little bit and thinking, actually, don't even make a driver's sprint championship. Make the sprint championship team-based, because then you could say that one seat is always a reserve driver and the other seat you can rotate around your main driver as you wish. So, you know, Max takes the sprint this time, Checo takes it next time, but it's always, say, Liam Lawson or whatever driving the other car. Just get the reserve drivers some racing time and just don't make it count towards the main team's cost cap, because I don't know. I
enjoyed it, which is interesting because we flipped a little bit. You were always a little more positive on the sprints. I was always the real negative person on it.
Loved them. I mean, some of them have given us better races than this one, but I'm still just not a...
Well, I enjoyed it. I still think it would be fun if we brought like some real craziness to this. Like, let's make Le Mans starts where you start outside the car, you run, get your own belts on.
Yeah, no,
let's bring in
cool.
the academy drivers and reserve drivers only. If you race on that Sunday's Grand Prix, you can't run in the sprint, so you gotta use two drivers who are not on your main. I would love to see something crazy and chaotic, but I know none of that will happen. I know I'm kidding around. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I was fine with me. It wasn't as good as Interlagos usually produces for a sprint. But you know what? Like you said, they opened Parc Fermé, and then we went back to Quali to get ready for the main race.
Then we went back to Quali. And oh my gosh, what is going... Lewis Hamilton just like... I would say he just checked out because he's off to Ferrari, but he did a good sprint. He did a good sprint, came second. And then just... forgot how to drive this track.
That car looked terrible in the dry. And I know the sprint was in the dry, but the quali, what got him up there, was in the wet. And that car looked terrible.
He had the pace to stay there. He's had the pace to stay
right,
there.
Which is weird, but he couldn't pass anybody.
Yeah, I know. So we lost Sargeant, Yuki, Lewis, K-Mag, and Joe. Oh, Checo just pipped him by like the blink of an eye. Joe was in there in 15th and he was going to be going through to Q2, and then Checo came around the corner and just knocked him out. So that was a little bit sad because I wanted Joe to go a little bit further. But then Valtteri was through, so that car was showing pace. Q2 question for you. So we lost Stroll, the gas man, Albon, Ocon, and probably someone else because I've only named four there and must have missed the fifth one off the list.
Stroll, Ricardo, Ocon, Albon, gas man. You missed Ricardo.
Yeah, okay. But Sainz caused a red flag by spinning out and stopping, and Aston Martin went and they protested to say that he shouldn't have been able to get his car going again. And apparently it's one of those areas where it's not exactly locked down in science.
No.
The wording is something like, I can't remember the wording. It's around about the amount of time it takes you to be able to get the car going
material
again.
Material time or significant
like an
time
acceptable
or something.
Not significant. So we're really woolly and grey. But I thought the whole essence of this was that you're not allowed to get going again by marshals, which he didn't. So right. I'm of the opinion, yeah, so what?
I am too. I actually think there is a different problem that we should solve first. If you stop your car, but you get it going again without the help of anybody else, I think that's fine. And you should be able to get back in. I mean, crap. Last year, Checo was out. They were going to retire the car. He had a massive penalty. Well, I forget the race. I want to say it was Japan. And he had this massive penalty, and they just fixed the car enough to send him out so he could take the penalty so it didn't apply to the next race. Yep. And I'm like, you know, like in my mind for Quali, and Lando did this years ago at Imola, and Charles has done this at Monaco, where when you're leading, and this is famously Schumacher did this in Monaco very famously many years ago, if you're leading the Quali and people are on hot laps and you cause the Quali to be abandoned, yellow flagged or red flagged, and people lose their laps, you shouldn't gain from that. That's actually what I'd like to fix. Like if you're in first and you go out there and you put it in the wall very gently and all of a sudden yellow flags come out and the quali is ended because there's 2 minutes left and everybody who's on a hot lap as the track has evolved loses their laps, I don't think you should be able to keep your lap at the top. But this, I have no problem with this. I don't care how long it takes. If you could sit there the whole quali backwards, as long as you're not in the line of fire and there's no yellows, you get it started again, you should be able to go. I mean,
This is a whole bunch of weird rules. Like, we didn't touch on two things, actually, we didn't touch on in the sprint. We didn't actually mention that Max won it. I think we kind of implied that he just drove off into the distance.
You mentioned he won 13 seconds after he passed people on, like, lap, you know, 8, which was crazy.
Other thing we didn't mention, again, is, again, these little technicalities of the way that the rule system works. So Alonso got a time penalty added to his sprint time, which is pointless because he'd retired.
Right.
But... And he avoided, therefore, a grid penalty in the main race because of a technicality that because he retired after 17 laps, so it was 17 out of 19, which because of percentage, he meant he became a classified finisher, even though he'd retired, they would still then put the time penalty onto his race time. So he like avoided being penalized through a grid penalty system just because he happened to retire when he went over the magic threshold for being a classified finisher, which, again, is just... weird little rules like this in F1. But he also actually got 3 penalty points, which now puts him halfway towards the 12 that would see him have to serve
but it
a
takes
suspension.
A while to get to 12. It takes a while to get to 12. So, as we said, you know, Carlos's time stood. He made it into Q3 after that crash. And as we said, Valtteri made it into his first Q3 of the year.
This is Valtteri Bottas, and you're listening to the dirty side of the track.
Valtteri was looking frisky the whole weekend until
most of the week
problems befell him. We'll get to that. And so then we get to the end, Q3 for the race, quali 3 for the race. And surprise, surprise, Max Verstappen by a lot of time over Checo.
Yeah, point 3 is quite a lot when you're in the same car, I think. And then we had Alonso rocking it into third spot, which was amazing. And then we kind of had the McLaren pair and the Ferrari pair. Russell limping around in 8th. The Hulk, I tell you what, that Paul mentioned it in his... he said they didn't want Valtteri to get stuck behind a Haas because they got great straight-line speed. And, you know, they showed it. That's the pace of that car. 9th for Hulk and Valtteri 10th. So, yeah, decent little grid there for not fully shaking up the 2x2s, but, you know, a little bit of sprinkling of different ones in there.
Let's see what Paul thought about the events of that Saturday.
Yo, yo, day 2 of China. We're in Shanghai, and there's a place in Shanghai called Thames Town, which is a miniature version of London. And it's just one of many miniature copies of places. Yuki Tsunoda, for instance, is a miniature copy of a Formula One driver.
what?
So, that's so good. Interesting facts again about this place. 35 million Chinese people still live in caves. I'm not going to even go any further on that one, but not surprised. Sprint race. Well, I was sort of right about Max, wasn't I? You know, they sort of held him off till, what was it, lap 8, lap 9 of a 19-lap race, and he still wins it by 13 seconds. Yeah. It's just ridiculous how fast that guy has got that car going. But still brilliant to see Lewis up in second place. We need that. You know, we need the Mercedes back, not just because... They're my guys, but we need them. Perez, probably going to be disappointed looking at the pace of Max to be third.
Yes.
And then the two Ferraris had a bit of a battle. And then Lando slightly behind. So, look, if I'm being honest, the sprint race, it was pretty wheel to wheel. It was quite exciting, to be honest with you. So there was quite a bit going on. It sort of bodes well a little bit for... tomorrow's race. What I will say is, you know, I think the early part of the race is going to be a big DRS train, which is sort of what we saw a little bit for the first 10 or so laps today. So it's going to be, when it's a race of two halves, I never understand the saying, because obviously, you know, it's going to be a race of two halves no matter what. There's going to be a halfway point, and then, you know, it's one of those obvious statements I can't quite get my head around. George Russell on soft tyres took a bit of a gamble. Fair play. You know, he's gone out there. He's got a point. Joe just missed out. Look, you know, this team needs something. They need a point. They need a point. So all I'm interested in, really, qualifying has just happened. So we have a race on outside by the side of it. Oh, that's loud. Max is on pole position. And when he's on pole position, I mean, he's on pole position by a ridiculous distance. I mean, I'm just looking at the sheets here. I'm going to do a quick calculation in my head. The distance he is in pole position to what he is to Perez behind is 3 turns. So that is the distance from third place Alonso down to 8th place. So it's a pretty close grid. You know, Valtteri finds himself back in 10th place. And those 3 tenths that Max is ahead of Perez would have actually put Valtteri nicely up towards P7, P6. So it's a hugely dominant performance again by Max. I wish he'd just bugger off. excuse my French. The rest of it, like I said, is very close. You know, Fernando, again, great job. McLaren's, I'm amazed that they're in front of Ferrari. I can't really figure out what's going on with Ferrari, if I'm being honest with you, because I think their race pace is a lot better, so there's going to be a lot of position changes.
Won't be.
We find ourselves again behind a Haas. The Haas is incredibly fast on a straight, so it actually knackers us up a little bit when we're trying to race them. So further down, Lance Stroll, got to be disappointed. Ricciardo again out-qualifies Yuki substantially as well, you know, by quite a long way. Ocon, you know, a bit of performance finally from an Alpine, and you know, 13th, Gasly 15th, Albon 14th, and then you know, we go further down until 18th place, Lewis Hamilton. What a fourth on grace! You know, he had a massive mistake on his final flying lap after Sainz had decided to try and crash, so that was pretty good. And then, yeah, down to Logan. So we go till tomorrow. Catch you in a bit.
So Paul's point actually reminds me of something that we haven't really talked about. My love of movies where people trade bodies. And so, exactly, Haas is last year's Williams, and this year's Williams is last year's Haas. They have swapped where Haas...
You really reached on that one, haven't you?
I know, you like that. So Williams last year, right, hear me out. Williams was slippery in a straight line. They were terrible at tracks that required real downforce, but they had, you know, even Alex would go, watch us at Monza, watch us at Silverstone.
Yeah.
Haas has that, but a little better. Like, if you go back, they have that straight line speed. They have that ability to hold cars off and lead the DRS trains. But they have a little bit of downforce, whereas this year's Williams trying to balance the high speed, low downforce, and the downforce tracks that require more, they've made a good job of going backwards completely and being good at neither, which is what Haas was last year.
Oh, man. So when we got to the race at 3 a.m. this morning, or whenever you woke up and watched it, we both saw the same thing, just at different times. We saw probably the worst thing happen, in my view, that if we wanted to see a race that could Checo take it to Max, that all got ruined in the first corner by an absolutely amazing start by Mr. Alonso.
Oh, amazing.
And just brilliant. And, you know, nothing against Fernando. It's not his fault, but he basically ruined the race by taking himself between Checo
and Max.
Because once that happened, we knew that Checo just doesn't seem to be able to pass people like that. He just sort of sits in and thinks, oh, well, this is the first stint. I'll just settle in now and keep my tires okay, while Max is just disappearing off into the distance. If we did want to see if Checo could take it to Max, Fernando got in the way of that. And I'm going to let you talk about whatever you want up until lap 21, because this was the world's worst race for 20 laps.
I enjoyed Lewis's commentary on the radio. Lap 2. We're 2 laps in. 2. And he's 19th, and he goes, I'm making no ground on these tires. 2 laps in, I was waiting for Toto to get on and do one of these.
So if the car is bad, we know, please drive it.
That's the exact same message. Toto should just have that and just go play it. Just, yes, we know you're 19th.
Toto needs a soundboard like you. Yeah.
He does. And so then what else happened? I mean, Lando took Fernando for third. I enjoyed some of that. Charles and George we're kind of going at it a little bit, and we saw a move on the outside of turn one. Again, I enjoy the fact that you can take people on the outside of turn one or the inside, because it's such a long sweeper that if you can stay on the outside of one and have your nose even with their back wheel by the end of one, when you dive into two, you got a shot. And so
I would say, chef's kiss to China for the DRS.
Yes.
because I think the DRS got you to that first braking point and gave you a chance sticking your nose in there and see if you wanted to go for it. There was no kind of just roadrunner
right.
straight past you on the DRS. So yeah, well done.
Start finish straight, especially. I think the back straight, a little stronger DRS. We saw a few more where you motored by, but not as many as well. I agree with you. I agree with you there. And then the only other thing I would really highlight, Valtteri got undercut by the Hulk on some early pit stops, and we saw a variety of things happening on lap 13. We had Lewis battling Yuki. Lewis F. Hamilton in a Mercedes battling from behind against Yuki F. Tsunoda in a Visa Cash App RB Toro Rosso crap box. That's how bad this weekend was for Mercedes. I highlighted, the reason I'm highlighting this in particular is when we started, I mentioned Yuki was going to have a bad weekend when we talked about SQ1. I mentioned Mercedes in particular and Lewis as we talked about the early sprint quali. And yes, Lewis did great in the sprint. Man, that was jarring for me to see those two battling for real, for position on the track.
Yeah. And then
Lance was out there doing his new move. I'll say this before we get to 21 and then Valtteri's engine going poof. I'll just say this. Lance has a new move. If you guys go back and watch China or even go back to Japan before he threw his little GP2 tantrum about the car being a different category, man, I would say that if you look, Lance's new move is a copy of what Max has done in the past, where, and Max doesn't do it anymore, but we don't have to, where he will get on the inside of you for a corner and then not stop his move. He will make you back out. This is Lance's new move. And he will go to the edge of the track. He will actually get his tires to the white line and other people have nowhere to go. And this is the second race in a row where Lance has done many of these. And, you know, this used to be Max's move where Max would even go off the track occasionally and then they made it illegal. If you go off the track, you have to give spots back. But otherwise, you get ahead, you can count it. Lance did this on the Hulk a couple times. Like I got a little problem with that, but I can't quite figure out exactly how to enunciate it, which is great for a podcaster.
Actually, before we move to Valtteri's engine blowing up and triggering then a semi-decent race from that point forward, we did get a shout out, and Crofty, and I've flipped it, so I'm going to try and see if I can get this onto something maybe I can post on socials, but Crofty is actually hoping or suggesting that Max comes on this podcast. Because as Lando was holding off Max and Max got round him, he said, oh, Max finally gets past Lando. He had to go on the dirty side of the track. So
it was lap 19. I was also going to clip it, but if you have it, send it to me.
I have got it clipped, yeah. Although I tried to do that kind of screen record thing on F1 TV. It doesn't like it very much. So I've got to work out how to pass out just it into an audio file. But I would do that and send it over.
Sweet.
Because we have Crofty suggesting that Max comes on the dirty side of the track.
Which he should.
And that was, you know... Absolutely should. But so they was just a bit boring and I needed something to get me awake because it was 3 whatever it was a.m. And then of all the things that, you know, okay, maybe I wished it on him, but I didn't wish it on Valtteri. I just wanted for something exciting to happen. And safety car got triggered by, unfortunately, Valtteri that was on the doorstep of points and looking very feisty in that car.
I was sure he was going to have points. I mean,
I was as well. I mean, when I saw the pace in the sprint when he was missing an M plate and he was able to stay where he was, I was like, you put a proper front wing on that car and it looks like it's got some decent pace. And he was flying. He was maybe even higher than 10th. I think there were multiple points that were up for grabs for him here.
Yeah.
And then the engine just said, no, I've had enough, thanks. and then this was just a bit, it seems to take forever. We've got double wavelet yellows. Oh, okay. We're not going to get
actually single wave yellows for an entire lap while Valtteri's getting out of the car.
Yeah. And then they went to double wave yellows. And then it was like they were going, yeah. I mean, double wave yellows, they can't move that car. It looks like it's locked in drive or whatever. I don't know. What should we do? VSC?
We'll give it a try for a little bit.
Now, or should I leave it a lap before I throw VSC? Oh, yeah, leave it a lap. Maybe things will get better.
Then they're like, well, the VSC is working really nicely. Is it? Maybe we should try a safety car too, because we've gone through everything except a red flag. Yeah, that's right. Let's do a little safety car action, and then we'll see I'm sure there was a debate about a red flag, because like we've checked every box off. We've gone from a multi-sector yellow to double wave yellows to VSC to safety car. I'm sure there was somebody in the race stewardship who's like, we haven't done a red flag today.
Yeah, exactly. And we had a couple of people, I think it was Leclerc, Stroll, Hamilton, and Lando came in under the VSC. But as soon as it went to full safety car, I gave up trying to write the notes at this point, and I just wrote pit lane bonanza, because everyone came in at this point, pretty much, I think. And then we saw the kind of strange. Everyone was looking at it going, is Fernando on softs? He does know there's like 25 laps or something to go at this point or whatever it was. I don't even think we'd hit halfway.
Nope.
Softs. Okay. I mean, I guess he wants to get a jump on the restart and see what he can do with it. And the answer was not a lot.
He made up one spot or maybe two at the end when he ended up having after the second restart. He made up a couple spots. I didn't understand it then. I was with the one thing I agreed with Nico Rosberg. That was a terrible strategy, in my humble opinion. I didn't get it. There were basically two parts to the rest of the race for me. One was Fernando on softs and what he was going to do or not do. And when he pitted, that became the most exciting part at the end of the race, was him. How many spots could he make up? And would he have been better to have stayed out on the softs and maybe lost one or two spots as opposed to pitting and try to make up four or five? We can debate that if you like. But the thing that I enjoyed was the chaos at the restart. Not if you're an RB fan. And for those of you who have listened, you know I was the chief conductor of the RB train going into the preseason. The Visa Cash App RB Toro Rosso. I love the colors. I love the lineup. I was sure they were going to be great. It was the RB19, I said, was a copy. Tracing Point, here we go. Man, that team is not good. And thank God I couldn't find all the merchandise to buy, because I'd be lighting it on fire at this point. And so,
funny thing about the restart was that we actually didn't really see the main drama that we're about to talk about at first. We saw two things. We saw Lando sitting in behind Max, and probably on team radio, but we didn't hear this, but I'm sure it happened. They were going, right, Lando, just stay close to Max. In a minute, he's going to gun it. So when he guns it, you need to be ready to go with him. Lando, he's gone. You need to get with him. It's like Max pulled out such a huge, like, he floored it. And like Lando must have been doing his, I don't know, shopping on his Amazon app or something, but it took him a good second or two to see that Max had bolted. So Max was out of DRS zone before they crossed the line. I mean, it was, anyway. And then all we saw was, I think it was the flag symbol came up on the TV, and suddenly we saw a wrong way facing Yuki with a tire missing. And it was like, oh, we've had some drama. And they were like, yeah. And then they kind of tried to work out what it was. I think it's a clash with K-Mag. And then we peel all the way back and we're like, well, hang on, there's all this carnage that we didn't even show you, where Danny Rick gets catapulted up into the sky.
I can't believe he even continued after that. I mean, these cars are brittle, and he got rear-ended royally by Lance. He gets thrown in the air. He comes landing down. He ends up hitting Oscar, even though he might have touched him a little. But then when he got hit by Lance, he goes flying into Oscar. And Oscar has damage. Danny Rick has damage. Lance has to pit for a new front wing. But then you're right. We didn't even understand, like, well, so where was Yuki in all this mess? And then they go show us K-Mag doing an old-fashioned K-Mag, where Kevin's like, yeah, I'm bored, I'm going for it, just get out of my way, I'm going to go for it. And if you want to get in the way, we'll crash. And he goes inside Yuki, and Yuki, I don't even think, sees him, because it's such a dive bomb. He's coming from nowhere. And Yuki's tootling around on the outside of the corner on the racing line, and all of a sudden he's spun around. He's like, where'd that guy come from?
Was China the location of the last torpedo?
Of Daniel Kvyat's torpedo? It was. It was 100% China. You came in like a torpedo. If you'd given me a little more warning, I might have been able
to
find it.
Sorry, it just came into my head then when you were kind
it
of
was.
Talking
I have it right here.
Kevin died.
Came like a torpedo.
Something about China and torpedoing people, but apparently.
It was better when it was Russian, but because it was an even better torpedo reference. But the Danish, do they have torpedoes? I'm assuming they do.
K-Mag just turns himself into one, like some apparently kind of transformer.
But yeah, after all that mess gets worked out and 10-second penalties are handed out like candy on Halloween to everybody. By the way, can we talk really fast Logan's 10-second penalty? I just watched it, so I don't know if the internet's dissected it. I don't know what Logan did wrong. I know literally what he did wrong. He passed the start-finish line, or the safety car 2 line, behind, apparently, Hülkenberg coming out, and then was going way faster and pulled in front of him, and it was like a photo finish. So I don't know how he should have figured that out. The team should have maybe. But like, if I'm Logan, I'm kind of frustrated, because I don't know why I got that penalty, and it was bang, bang, and like that was a rough one.
Yeah, I wasn't really sure what was going on there. And then there was someone else got done for a safety car. It was Danny Rick got done for safety car infringement. Afterwards, even though we're talking about in a minute, he retired. He was just going backwards because he had no diffuser left. They said it was kind of just like hanging off. But didn't he say he got overtaken by Hülkenberg during safety car? So he thought he was just taking the spot back again. So he overtook Hülkenberg. And then they said you can't overtake under safety car, so that's a penalty. He's like,
three-place grid drop for Miami in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Which is rough.
I know. So Anyway, he had to retire. And no, by the way, that whole carnage brought out a second safety car, which just seemed to last for an eternity.
No one could figure out why.
It was about like five laps of safety car for no reason. Somebody kept saying, oh yeah, there's debris on the track. And then someone was like, no, I think that's just the marbles. I think if they're going to go and start sweeping out all the marbles, we're going to be here for a long time.
Yeah.
So yeah, the soft gamble didn't pay off for Alonso. So he pitted from, what was he, third or fourth at that point? Was it third?
No, he was a couple back. He was like a couple back, fifth. Yeah.
So he dropped way back. But strapped a new set of medium. I might not have been new. I don't know if they were used or whatever, but mediums on and went on the charge. And that was kind of...
That was the fun thing to watch at the end.
That's really what lit up kind of the end of it, because Checo could not catch Lando, which I could not believe. He didn't even make a dent, and Lando just cruised home, one arm hanging out of the cockpit with probably a margarita, knowing that he's not racing Max. He's got no point trying to go after him, but not probably really having to do the rear guard action that he was expecting of a Red Bull flying along to make it another 1-2. I don't think he probably even saw him in his rear view mirrors. Checo just did nothing. So yeah, we had Alonso on the charge. He lap 49. He did his sideways off-roader where he went drifting around the corner. What a reaction to hold that together! I mean,
that was
literally
unbelievable.
Facing the opposite way almost.
I loved it, but yeah, he charged through like you said. He ended up getting a bunch. He got Hulk. He got Hamilton. He got Piastri. Piastri again with damage, trying to just hang on in front of Lewis at the end. Yeah, I mean. Again, I didn't think it was a great race. It was fine.
It got better. The safety cars made it better because I think it would have just been a procession. I don't think we'd have had anything. So at least we got some action. We also then got Lando getting lost on the way to the podium. They never really showed us where he went. We saw one picture of him. I think he was going into the pit lane when he shouldn't have, and he was trying to reverse.
Well,
so I'm not quite
showed
sure
him reversing briefly, and then he realized he was going to get a penalty if he really did this. So he went back forward, and they had gave him a special parking stop. Parking spot in the pit lane, but not where he's supposed to be on the main track, which is okay because we created a new parking spot on the main track for Joe, which I thought was pretty cool to honor the local driver, but I've never seen that before where like
no.
First, second, third, 15th. And like, I mean, I'm happy for Joe that he got this spot and, you know, it was fun watching him race, but I'd never seen that type of honor before. It was great. And the crowd loved him, which they should because he's an exciting young driver, but anyway.
Yeah, so just before we kind of wrap the race up then. So looking, if Alonso was at fifth, pitted and fought his way back up to seventh, I think it was. One, two, three, four, five, six. Yeah, seventh. I don't think the softs would have lasted. I think he might have been a sitting duck. He could have even ended up outside the points.
I'm sure they had a simulation
probably...
that figured this out and it probably worked.
Yeah, I would say it worked. Those softs didn't look good when he was on them and they were new. He would have just gone backwards.
The question, though, is would you have put the softs on to start with, right?
I mean...
Yeah, exactly. When they'd done this, this probably saved them a spot or kept them about where they would have finished and maybe would have given them an opportunity to go higher, but I wouldn't have put the softs on to start with.
Oh, I know. So we had, Max, Lando, Checo, then the Ferrari boys, Leclerc beating Sainz this time around. Russell was in witness protection. I don't think we really saw him.
Nope.
And Alonso. Piastri did well to bring it home in the points after getting... He had diffuser damage as well after Danny Rick shunting him. Hamilton just about getting in. And Hulk getting more points for Haas. So, yeah, I mean, it was better than it could have been if we hadn't had the safety cars. It wasn't amazing. It was all right. I'm going to just call it an all right race. It wasn't Bahrain snooze fest all over again. It wasn't kind of hitting the heights of a banger. You know, it was just kind of middle of the road race. Bits I enjoyed, bits I kind of wish would go by quicker. Me and you were, I'm going to claim a win over you in the predictions from last week.
You do.
I said Max Checo Sainz. You said Max Sainz Charles. So you had the Ferraris way overperforming.
Yeah, I
compared to what
they
actually did.
And you had Checo on the podium, even though you had him second. He finished third. You clearly beat me on the predictions.
Clearly,
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, clearly. I'm just trying to be nice.
But let's do our King of the Pits in the Pits before we close out Pit Lane Paul's weekend of review. Let's do the pits first because we're going to. So many options to choose from. We're starting with the pits.
You're the pits!
And I think you went first last weekend, so I'm happy. Or last race, I'm happy to go first.
Okay.
Lance Stroll. Like, I don't even have to think about it. Lance Stroll. I wanted to, you know, in my mind, right, as I was watching this, I was really down on Yuki for the weekend. His qualifying stunk and his racing wasn't great. And just where's the guy who was ahead of Danny Ric for that seat and threw open the whole RB conversation for Red Bull. I wanted to say Mercedes, and then I wanted to say Lewis, even though then the sprint, he was second, and it's hard to say that, but his quali was not good until the rain came, and then he held positions, but he was just doing nothing. I wanted to say a variety of cars. I wanted to say Ferrari, where was the race pace we've seen? We thought you were clearly second best, but it's Lance Stroll. The delta from him to Fernando has grown so much, and he's driving around. I mean, like, when it was Lance and Kevin Magnussen, or as we like to call him from Canada, Magnussen, at the back of the race, battling for 16th and last, 17th last, and the two of them have 10-second penalties, I was waiting for them just to crash straight away into each other, because that's what I expect of those two at this point. So, for me, 100%
Have you seen the Danny Ric interview? Have you seen the post-race Danny Ric interview? No. Oh, he is. You've got to go and search this up. He is mad. He's so angry because he's watched the onboard of Lance. When Lance is going into that corner and there's like a concertina of cars all come into a standstill in front of him, his head shifts and he's clearly looking at the apex of the corner as if he's just looking to see what his line's going to be through there. And just doesn't see them, doesn't stop and just plows into them. And then he said on his team radio, he just brake checked me, claiming that Danny Ric brake checked him. No, he didn't. And Danny Ric is so angry. He's like, if he's trying to put this on me, you just wait till I see him. I'm like, oh my God, we're going to get kind of like Rocky in the ring. Danny versus Stroll. Stroll. Just an idiot. He was awful today. And
he's not had a good year.
Just not putting his hand up and taking responsibility for that. He drove clearly right into the back of Danny Ric and then trying, he brake tested me. Like last week with the little GP2 or whatever it was remark. He's oof.
All right, well, let's talk about the Kings then.
Hey, you're the king of the pit.
So, this is actually difficult because I want to say Max. Like, this is, you and I have had this argument. Just because he's the best, do we ever get tired of his greatness and give it to somebody else subconsciously without saying, you know, like, are we not acknowledging his full greatness every time because he gets old? So Max should be the winner here. There's an argument to be made for Lando, especially in the race and what he did and the way he qualified in the rain. He's a good rain driver. Like, we've discussed this. He has game in the rain. And when he crashed out at Spa years ago in that horrible crash and Seb checked on him, we were all nervous because it was so bad. But he's a good rain driver. So you could make an argument for Lando. I'm not making any of those arguments. I'm making it for Fernando F. Alonso, who made this race interesting, who I know he started...
Or ruined it.
I know he started third, and he ended up battling his way to seventh or whatever it was. I recognize that. But he qualified brilliantly all weekend. He raced brilliantly. He may have cut Checo off in lap one and ruined the race, to Rob's point. But when you think of people overperforming their cars... And just the way he drove the whole weekend, if you don't think Fernando's on top of his game and dragging that Aston Martin to places it shouldn't be, week in and week out, it's Fernando.
It's funny because it's almost exactly, well, it is the exact same three that I was kind of throwing around for almost exact same reasons. But just because of how ridiculously, once he'd got past in the sprint, like whatever it was, he had three laps left. No, it was more than three, but he had, you know, six laps left and won the sprint by 13 seconds. Was absolutely dominating this weekend, and it was only really safety cars that make it look like it was close. I've got to give it to Max, because if I don't give it to Max on a weekend where he absolutely shows everyone how far clear of the field is, then I won't give it to him. So it hurts me because Fernando and Lando, nice little rhyme there, very, very close. Honorable mentions. I'm glad you gave it to Fernando, but I got it. I got to give it to Max because he was just outstanding all weekend. Didn't really do anything wrong. Just showed how good that car is in his ability. And again, it sounds stupid because Checo's on the podium, but it shines a light on him again of like,
oh, it does.
You've got this amazing machinery and you two should be 1-2 in almost every single race because you're in rocket ships. Why isn't a rocket ship when your right foot is pushing?
Let me ask you a question, because I was thinking about this at the end of the race. And we've talked about this delta, and we've banged away on Checo for almost a year straight for not being close enough to Max. And now I think we finally realized it's Lance being that far from Alonso that needs to be discussed. But. And I'm asking everybody this too. Send us a note on Twitter if you want, or to our email or whatever. If you took Lando out of the McLaren and put him in the Red Bull, and you took Checo out of the Red Bull and put him in the McLaren, straight driver swap, does Lando get closer to Max? And yes. Does Checo finish ahead of Oscar?
Ooh. Ooh. The first one, yes. I don't. I'm not naive enough to think that Lando's going to be challenging Max for the win. I was going to say every week, probably even never. But I think the delta gets cut down drastically. I think Lando would get much more out of that car than Checo seems to be. Oscar, Checo, I just don't know. And this is the problem, right? Is it Max's greatness or is it the car? If you say it's only Max's greatness, then that kind of takes something away because you're like, well, obviously the car's really, really super amazing as well. So you've got to say from the position of the car is amazing. The car is that amazing. And Checo couldn't even make a dent in Lando at the end. Like, didn't even get close. Never even got into his DRS. He just never caught him up. Then I think it'd be close. I think Oscar would give him a run for his money.
I think he would too. I agree with everything you said. I think that's right. But that's what I started thinking about. If you switched it around, you know, how would the things change? So anyway, all right, let's hear from Paul again, shall we?
Final check-in.
Sunday at the Chinese Grand Prix. I apologize for the background noise, only I won't lie to you. We didn't have the best day ourselves, which I'll go into. And therefore, I've left the circuit. I'm just sort of wandering to get a beer. And it did cross my mind that I haven't actually done this for you guys yet. So I'm going to do it on the move as I'm wandering the streets of downtown Shanghai. So, yeah, what do I say? I'll start from my side first, because then you'll sort of understand why this could be quite a moody one from me. Yeah, again, it's just, you know, we've said it the last few races, and we'll say it again. It's just another point dropped, or points dropped from us. So, very disappointing. You know, we can argue, we can say to it blue in the face, us racing, we know that. And look, it's not like it's a handling issue like it was with pit stop, so engine failures happen. It just doesn't make it any easier or better, but it's still frustrating that once again we've left points on the floor, so to speak, probably in a few pieces. But there we go, that's life. As for the race itself, I mean, to be absolutely completely honest with you, as of the moment when Valtteri's engine expired, and that's even if it is, by the way, I don't even know if that's actually the case. So let's say it is. Up until that point, it was quite a boring race, actually. It wasn't a great deal, in my opinion, that was going on, unless I've missed something. I might have missed something, you had the usual jostling at the front in the early stages, and then Max just drove away. It was largely without incident. And then, naturally, we had the issue with Valtteri, which then caused the knock-on effect and actually made it, from my opinion, from what I did see, quite a good race. So, let's be positive about it. It was okay. I know I've said before, say it again, let's ignore Max. We have to ignore Max, otherwise everyone's going to get all depressed and moody, go, oh, it's no fun watching anymore. It's still worth watching just because you've got one driver who's driving away. The race behind him is still quite interesting. So, yeah, I mean, during the times when there were safety cars, I mean, I'm going to be completely honest. I don't actually know what happened because I'm running around trying to find Valtteri, which is always the great thing. There's no actual written rule in Formula One that says that they will deliver a driver back to the garage, or they'll deliver it to anywhere. So, and the fans are quite boisterous here. So the first thing we've got to do is try and locate where he's going to be dropped off by whoever, as it turned out, some guy in a scooter. So
a moped, yes.
It's actually quite good fun. It's like a game of Where's Wally? Valtteri being Wally. So, like, by the time we come back, the safety car was ending, which seemed like an eternity. So I might have missed. So I don't know if I've missed anything during that time. It seemed a very long time for a safety car to be out. I know they were struggling to move the car. Okay. So, yeah, apologies if I missed anything. But then it sort of, like, made it quite good. Then let's discuss Lance Stroll. Now, one thing I will say is when you're sat in the car, you have a completely different perspective to what you probably should. I have got no idea where I'm going either, by the way. And therefore, he sort of ran into the back of Ricciardo in almost comedy style, and then claimed that he'd been protested, which couldn't be any sort of further from the truth of what actually happened. So yeah, that was quite interesting. And then, from that point, it sort of did actually weirdly become quite interesting. More safety cars. Max again drove away, but Lando Norris, who was sort of complaining about his car for the duration, ended up driving this almost excellent race. So that was, excellent, amazing for him. So I genuinely don't think he thought that was going to be the case at all. So brilliant. Apart from that, lots of jostling, lots of racing down the back. It was a good race. I think I tried to make things better than it actually is. Maybe it was a terrible race. I don't know. You guys will tell you anyway. Listen, whatever. I can't give an honest review because I didn't receive much of it. I won't lie. Anyway, I leave here tomorrow to go to Hong Kong, then to go to LA. I actually land in LA before I take off from Hong Kong due to the time zone. So that's going to be quite good. And then, I'm in America driving Route 66. And I'll be glad to get out of China, if I'm being completely honest with you. I did learn today that in China, they actually sometimes deploy geese rather than dogs if there's an issue with the police, because they are just as moody as dogs, which
geese?
Is pretty epic. And if I get attacked by a herd of geese, or was it a gaggle of geese actually tonight, it will just about round off what's been a pretty dreadful day. So enough of me whinging, enough of me giving you a terrible race review, blatantly, because I've got no idea what happened in the race. Looking forward to getting over to America. I'm even dropping to Chicago. I might have to surprise a certain host of the show. You never know. But yeah, what can I say? I am gutted. I am just disappointed. Max wins again. Let's go to Miami.
Wow. So,
he didn't get attacked by geese.
I hope he didn't get attacked by geese. So first of all, that's why we're America's Leading Formula One podcast. Who ever thinks about how does a driver get back to the paddock after a crash? Exactly. And who collects them, like figures out how to go find them when they're on their way back?
All the things you didn't know you needed to know about F1 brought to you by Pit Lane Paul on the dirty side of the
track. That was awesome. That was awesome. And now
I love
know
those
I
little
might
insights. I love those little insights that I don't even think about until all of a sudden he mentions it. I'm like, I guess you do have to go and find Valtteri. But cool.
And I'm actually traveling this week again for work, but I'll be back probably before he gets to Chicago on his Route 66 journey.
Nice.
Yeah. So, all right. Let's talk a little bit about some SAP stats. And I agree with Rob. This wasn't the greatest race. It wasn't the worst. So we can't use a banger. We're going to use, and we can't use a custom. So we're going to use the Nokia one. SAP stats, Chinese Grand Prix edition. And I just have a few to highlight. So Verstappen's victory today was his 21st in the last 23 Grand Prix. Carlos Sainz has the other two, as we've said many times. We can't ignore the fact about that. Verstappen now has won on 26 different circuits, only 5 behind Lewis Hamilton's all-time record. It was Norris's 15th career podium. We heard this one on the TV, but I wanted to highlight it again. It was Norris's 15th career podium finish without winning, tying Patrick, and I screwed this up a week ago when I did this, Depailler, Jean Alesi, Mika Häkkinen, and Eddie Irvine, all of whom scored 15 before their first win. Charles Leclerc took P4 for Ferrari as the only driver to have finished in the top four at every race in 2024, which you can sometimes forget that because Ferrari looked bad this weekend, but he still came through and finished fourth. Was one of the few bright spots on my fantasy team, which was once again a blight wasteland of nuclear disaster. With Charles, George Russell was their lead finisher in P6. Here's two stats in a row that are going to make you really sad if you're a Mercedes fan. George Russell was their lead finisher in P6. Mercedes do not have a top four finish in the first 5 races of the year for the first time since 2011. It's been 13 years where they haven't finished in the top four in the first 5 races. And Mercedes has never finished outside of the top 5 in Shanghai before. And neither one were in the top 5. And then the last one I have, we always kind of touch this here and there. Hulkenberg is now tied with Andrea De Cesaris on 208 F1 starts without a win. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's going to be 209 after Miami.
Yeah, pretty sure of that.
So,
go ahead. I would say that kind of puts a bow around China. Good track, good lines through corners, like you say, good action when it happened, but just seemed to fail to simmer or come to the boil. I should say it simmered. The Chinese GP simmered. It never really came to the boil. That's my cooking analogy done. I don't even know where I'm going with that analogy anymore. Help me, Brian. Analogy overboard. Throw me a lifesaver and I'm done.
All right. So I would normally do fantasy at this point, but for some reason over the last couple hours, it is not quite calculated correctly. So if we go into the dirty side league, it says I'm 28th for Chinese Grand Prix, which very well could be true, but it only shows number one and two.
And yeah, so, same here. I couldn't get it to look.
Yeah, so we're going to hold the results of the Chinese Grand Prix fantasy until next week, until it's properly updated. We were so excited for like two races in a row, it updated quickly. And Fantasy Hub Rob and Fantasy HQ Adam were all excited. Oh, it's updating faster now. Well, welcome back, Cotter. We're using the abacus again back there behind him. And so we don't have that. And we don't have a race next week, so we don't have a preview. We'll come up with something for next week because I'm sure we'll be excited for Miami. So we'll at least have a Miami preview next week.
And don't point at me. You're the one that closes out the show. I'm just going to babble now for 10 seconds and hand back to you to close out.
No, I've got nothing. Alrighty then. Well, with that, we will close out the Chinese Grand Prix review. And we'd say thanks so much to Paul for his three amazing recaps from Shanghai. It was a lot of fun, even if it wasn't the greatest Grand Prix, because it was a weekend of many ups and downs. I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed chatting about it with you, Rob, and all of you Dirty Siders. And we can't wait to talk to you again in 1 week's time.